Well, hello, everyone. For the last time this year, let's turn to the last chapter of the Bible, Book of the Revelation, and the chapter 22. Today concludes our studies that we began in September on the return of the Lord Jesus Christ in power and great glory. To know, boys and girls, it is my desire that you might understand the importance of this subject, not just for Christians generally, but I'm emphasizing the importance of this subject for you, because the day is drawing on, the day is drawing on. You may have heard, some of you may have heard, that in the news there's quite a financial crisis in Greece that had all the leaders in Europe puzzling as to what should be done. Greece was in such debt and didn't seem to be able to pay its debts, and would go bankrupt very shortly if more loans weren't made to Greece. And there was a lot of talk, a lot of long hours spent negotiating. But I want to tell you this. One of these days, Greece is going to feature in events that will lead on to the rise of a man who will then be revealed as the great Antichrist. I believe that the great Antichrist will have his roots in Greece. And I'm not going to go into all the reasons why that should be, but the symbol of Greece, which is a leopard, is linked to the Antichrist. And I thought on these things as I listened to the crisis developing. They appear to have it sort of patched up at the moment, or at least they're talking as if it's patched up, but it's only a patch. And you boys know when you patch a bicycle tube, the chances are it comes off in a day or two, and you're back to a flat tire. Well, you think about this in days to come. Keep an eye on Greece. Now, this is my final study. Three things I want to say to you today. And we read the verse 7 of chapter 22. Behold, I come quickly. The Savior is speaking, of course. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Then verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. And then the verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The meaning of this word quickly, by the way, is perhaps misunderstood somewhat when we first read passages like this. When we hear the word quickly, are apt to think of something that we want done immediately. Do that quickly. Do it immediately. Come to me quickly. Come to me now. But that is not quite the meaning that's placed upon this word quickly here. Rather, the Lord is saying, when I come, it will be an event that will suddenly take place. The events leading up to it will unfold very quickly, and, as it were, before this world will realize what's happening, I will be back. I will be back. He is not saying here in this chapter to John, behold, I come quickly, that is, maybe tomorrow, or the next day, or the day after that. No, that's not the meaning. We know that it's nearly 2,000 years ago since the Lord said to John, behold, I come quickly. It's 2,000 years, the Lord's idea of quickly. Oh, if he was saying to John, I'm about to come, then we have to say that, and we hesitate to even think this, but we have to say the Lord was exaggerating. For he hasn't come quickly, as we often understand the word. He hasn't come quickly. That's why we've got to think of this word as not meaning, behold, I'll be here very soon. Rather, behold, when I return, the events will happen all very quickly. Now, proof of what I'm saying is found in other scriptures that refer to the coming of the Lord. Go back in Revelation to chapter 16. Just go back to chapter 16 and the verse 15 of that chapter where we read, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. I come as a thief. How does a thief come? Well, he comes unexpectedly. Comes unexpectedly. The householder is there, and then the next moment, it seems, his house has been broken into. A robbery has taken place. Out of the blue, as far as the householder is concerned. It's happened quickly. That gives you the meaning of this word, quickly. Unexpectedly. Unexpectedly. And as far as this world is concerned, so will the Lord come, like a thief, unexpected. Suddenly he'll be here. But you and I, who have been following his word and following his instructions, we have watched the developments, we have watched the signs, and we see the approach of the Lord getting nearer and nearer and nearer. And it doesn't come as a surprise to us. Doesn't come as a surprise to us, because we have been watching. But it will come as a surprise to the world, because the world dismisses the idea that the Savior is coming. They dismiss the idea of the Savior. Indeed, just a day ago, there was an article in one of our local newspapers, the Newsletter, and the columnist who wrote the article, he's an openly professing atheist, doesn't believe in God. And he was arguing the case for his particular view. Now, he doesn't believe there is a God. He doesn't believe what the Bible has to say. He doesn't believe that Jesus Christ was God. He doesn't believe in anything that the Bible says. What a shock for him and all who think like him. Any time I have ever encountered the likes of him, I'm inclined to think that arguing is a waste of time with men like that. They think they know it all. They think they have reasoned out the whole matter and that their view is right. There's no God. I'm inclined, when I encounter someone like that, is just to pat them on the head. Say, all right, you believe it. But the Lord Jesus will still come, and you will be caught unawares. You will be caught unawares. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter how the world dismisses the truth of the Bible. The truth of what it is we are just looking at in this chapter. It will still happen, and happen exactly as God has said it will. Oh, the Lord Jesus is coming back again, boys and girls, and he will come quickly. That is, suddenly, unexpectedly. You know, things are speeding up in this world. If you lived, say, at the beginning of the 1700s, that's a long time ago, I know. But if you lived then, life for you, as a young boy or a young girl, would not be much different from what it had been for your mother and father, for your granny and granda, for your great-granny and great-granda, and go on back hundreds of years. Go on, roll the years back to the times of the apostles. And life hadn't changed very much. Farmers ploughed the same way. Women folk baked and washed and took care of the home the same way. Tradesmen like carpenters, etc., etc., they did the same thing with the old tools the same way. Then there came what is called the Industrial Revolution, and men began to advance in knowledge and understanding, and steam power came, and trains, and factories driven by great steam engines were able to accomplish an awful lot more. In fact, a lot of people objected to it because, you see, they were working in their home at their wee loom, and suddenly the big factory was built, and what they were doing was being done 100 times, 200 times faster than they could ever do it, and so they were out of a job. There were a lot of objections to the development of the steam power, and it went on from steam power up through the 1800s to the beginning of the 1900s, advances, motor cars. Then the first old, strange-looking aeroplanes that nobody in their right mind would ever think of getting into and trying to fly in. But people thought, isn't this absolutely amazing? Did you see him? He flew, I'm sure, for 100 yards. And he must have got 10 feet off the ground. What's the world coming to? That's how they were talking just over 100 years ago. Then it started, and rapidly it increased, until now men have been to the moon. People by the million step on planes and fly thousands of miles every day. We have little gadgets, our phones, and in seconds we can talk to people on the other side of the world. Not only talk to them, but look at them. There they are talking back to us on a screen. You know, the last generation could hardly give credit to them. Things have been rapidly increasing. Things are getting faster and faster and faster as we near the end, as we approach the end. And this world thinks nothing of the Lord returning. That's why it says he'll come as a thief. Come as a thief. Thieves find easy pickings in the home where the householder never thinks about a thief. Never takes any care or regard for robbery. No locks, no alarms, nothing. No, nobody will ever rob my house. And they'll one day come back and find the house has been robbed. So thieves love to target those who never think they'll be robbed. This world thinks there's no God, no Christ, but soon the Lord will come. He's coming quickly. That is, he'll come suddenly. It is the duty of the Christian. Listen to me, boys and girls. It is the duty of the Christian to watch and wait for this event. That's what the Savior says here. Verse 7. I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. He wants us to watch. He wants us to take heed to what he says in this book, so that we're prepared. So that we're prepared. You know there's a little magazine that sits in the front of our church. It's called Watching and Waiting. And that's what the Lord has commanded his people to do. He commanded us to watch and to wait, to be on our guard. Never forget that one of these days the Lord is coming. Keep an eye on the Bible, for it will tell you, it will keep you informed. I always, when I'm in England, occasionally I would travel by train, something you can't do here, at least to any great degree, certainly down here. And when I'm there, it's always interesting to see the people waiting on the platform for the train. Of course, now there's a clock and it says the next train will be in a couple of minutes, or whatever. But it used to be before the clock was mounted, there was a signal up the line, and you would see people sauntering out to the edge of the platform and looking up the line to see what the signal was. Because when it changed colour, that indicated that a train was about to come. They were watching. Well, some of them were reading newspapers. Some were drinking coffee. Some were working on their laptops. Some were making phone calls. But at the same time, they were watching. They were watching. That's what you must do. Whatever else you're engaged in, never forget to watch for the coming of the Lord as we are given information about it in the Scriptures. That's our duty. That's our duty. Matthew chapter 24, the verse 44. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. You see, if you live with the idea of Christ returning, you will live a holy life. If you live and forget the Lord is coming, you will sink into sin. But keeping the Lord's coming before you will prove to be a sanctifying influence. It'll keep you holy. It'll stop you doing that which the world is doing, which the careless ones are doing, because you say, no, the Lord's coming. And I don't want him to find me doing that. I want him to come and find me waiting. It's a sanctifying practice, this duty of waiting upon the Lord. You know, what is written in this book is very relevant. This last book of the Bible, and I might add on to it all the prophecies of Scripture. If you look, please, at verse 10, the Lord says unto John, seal not the sayings of the book, prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Now that differs from what the Lord told Daniel. When the Lord gave Daniel great revelations of the end times and what would happen, Daniel was intrigued and said, Lord, what does this mean? Explain this to me. And the Lord said, Daniel, seal up the book, because it's not for your time. Seal it up, like sticking down an envelope. Seal it up, because what's in it is not for you. It's for a future time. But now, here is the Lord speaking unto John, and he doesn't say to John, stick down the envelope. But no, he says, don't seal it. Seal not, verse 12, because the time is at hand. Study what I have told you. Study what I told Daniel. Open up that which Daniel was commanded to seal, because the time is at hand. The things spoken of are going to soon begin to take place. Oh, this book is right up to date, boys and girls. God tells us so. God tells us so. And then let me just say one more thing. The child of God should delight in the thought of Christ's return. Delight in the prospect of Christ's return. See the closing words? We read them together, the verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Hear John's reply, amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen, John says. In response to what the Savior has just announced, yet again, this is the third time he has said this in this chapter, I come quickly. And John says, amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. I think that we can understand John's particular excitement and the response he gives to what the Savior has just said, because John had been taken by the Lord and was given great vision of what would happen at the end. John was shown how the wicked, rebellious nature of man, culminating in the Antichrist and all his activities, would finally be defeated. That the saints of God would be raised from the dead, brought to glory. John had seen all this. And because of that, he wanted the Lord to come quickly, come soon, that that might all come to pass. Listen to me, boys and girls. Nobody longs for the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ like those who have studied what God has said will happen then. If you don't know what glorious, exciting things will happen when Jesus comes again, then you'll not really long for it. But if you have studied it, seen what will happen, the great changes that the Savior will bring in, the joy, the happiness, the peace, the blessedness that will follow his return, then you will long all the more for his return. That's why John says, when the Savior says, behold, I come quickly, John says, amen. Let it be so. That's what the word means. Let it be so. Even so come, Lord Jesus. So come as you have said. So come quickly. So come gloriously. So come victoriously. So come, Lord Jesus. I tell you, boys and girls, there is no one more anxious for the Lord's return. No one who with greater excitement looks forward to the Lord's return than the one who has seen something in God's word of what changes Christ will make. I love history. I love watching the history of the Second World War, because it's not just in a book like other great events in history oftentimes is. It's just a book. People saying what they saw, what they heard. But in the Second World War, we have films of what took place. And I have seen and I have heard men who were held in prison camps in Germany, and the word filtered through to them, and men also in prison camps in Japan and areas controlled by the Japanese, British, American, prisoners of war, suffering hardship, boys and girls, the like of which You and I have no idea. No idea. That's why when it comes to the 11th of November, you should ever remember the sufferings of men in the wars, particularly the Second World War, to make sure that we lived in freedom. And those men in the prison camps, sometimes they'd been there for years, starved, beaten, cruelly treated, and the word started drifting through. Little rumors. The British are coming. The Americans are coming. They're advancing, and the Japanese or the Germans, they're retreating. We'll soon be out of here. Can you imagine the excitement? Can you imagine the excitement? And then the day dawned, and through the gates of the camp, there marched the Allied troops, and the Germans run for their lives, and the Japanese run for their lives, and the prisoners hardly able to stand, with physical weakness, but also overcome with joy. The day of liberation come. Oh, I tell you, if you study your Bible, you will hear. You will hear the reports. You will see it unfolding before your eyes. The Lord's coming. The Lord is drawing near. The time will be soon. That's why John was excited. That's why he longed for the day of the Lord to come. I trust that that longing will be in your heart as well. As you study what the Savior is going to do, it will sharpen your appetite for his return. May the Lord bless you and keep you over the summertime. Don't forget your Bible. In your own home, still read your Bible. Still read your Bible. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, bless your word to our hearts. Bless the children. Oh, keep an eye upon them, Lord. Keep a hand upon them, we pray. Bless thy word to their hearts, for Jesus' sake. Amen.